Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Brother German, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, by God's grace. How about you?
No, doing well, man, can't complain. Great to have you. I think I'm speaking to you for the first time this year, eh?
Yeah, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, great to have you nonetheless. It's really been a while. Now, we're going to be talking about the VOP lesson. Where is heaven? That's the question that is being asked there. Well, it's an interesting question. I do hope that we are going to be able to get the answers through this question. And of course, if you're joining us on the line, if you're listening on the radio, we want to know, is heaven a real place? Well, some people haven't. Believe heaven, rather, isn't a physical place, but rather a state of being or consciousness, a realm of pure potential and spiritual evolution. Now, certainly, the idea that heaven represents a realm or dimension of becoming rather than a physical place is a concept rooted in various spiritual and philosophical traditions. Now, we want to know at the end of this conversation what the Bible says. Tell us about heaven. Brother German, are you able to get into a slightly quieter place? Because I think your background, there are quite a number of people talking there. We got to be able to hear everything you say.
All right. Let me just ask. Okay, of course, I am somewhere, but I'll try to.
Yeah, if you can tell them that you're on the radio and we really just need just 15 minutes of your time. All right, he is going to be talking to us about that and having to understand exactly about heaven. But Brother German, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, thank you so much for coming through. We're really going to be very short. We're not going to be long because we realize that you're engaged with other activities there as well. First of all, is heaven a real place?
Yes, exactly. It's a real place because the Bible tells us, according to John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus himself promised us, he urged us not to be troubled. He urged us to believe in God as well as in him. Because he says, in his father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, as he puts it, he would have told us. So heaven is a little place. It's not a mere story. It's not something that people just tell as a fair tale.
Sorry? Hello?
Heaven is a real place.
Yes, yes.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. We have the people at your background speaking louder than you. Now,
sorry,
that's fine. Brother German, are you based in Brantaya?
Yes, Brantaya.
Now, if somebody asks me, is Brantaya a real place? I'll tell them, yes, of course, it's a real place. I mean, I've spoken to Brother Mark German. He's based in Brantaya. I know it's a real place. He's there. I spoke to him. But what about heaven? How do we know that it's a real place? Well, you read about it, but I've spoken to somebody from Brantaya, so I've got hardcore facts. You are in Brantaya, you live there, and I didn't read about it. I spoke to someone who lives in Brantaya. Tell me more about heaven.
Yeah, the Bible is the word of God. He speaks to us through the word, and we respond through prayer. So the Bible tells us that Jesus himself, rather, told us that I am going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And this heaven is a real place because it's the place, it's the dwelling place of God. And the Bible tells us that the earth is the fullest of God. So you don't have to doubt. And you remember, spiritual things are spiritual, the same thing. But then we talk about heaven. Heaven is a real place. Jesus promised that he's going there to prepare a place for us, and he shall return to take us there. So heaven is a real place. You are speaking to me, I'm in Brantaya, but you haven't seen me. But you, by faith, know I'm here. And we speak to God through prayer. He speaks to us through the word. So heaven is a real place.
Yeah, you know, I hear you. Now, I want to know then, because, you know, when I read in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's a heaven, there's heavens. How many heavens are there?
There are a number of heavens, of course, because we, as we understand, we know we have these so-called astronauts, people who visit the moon, who go to space.
Mm.
Those familiar names like Bill Gates and like. But then, this heaven we are discussing here is the dwelling place of God. Those guys haven't reached it. Those guys haven't visited that place. We will only have the access to reach heaven, the real heaven, the place where God lives, when we have done our best to obey God, by obeying God fully. So there are heavens, yes, of course. We understand there are planets, there are heavens where these people go to the moon, to do whatever. But then this is another heaven, and this is the dwelling place of God, as the scriptures tell us.
Okay, now you are talking about Christ having said he's going to go into to heaven to prepare a place, etc. But how are we going to get there?
Okay, Jesus himself in John chapter 14 verse number 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me." So there is only one way. There are not many ways to heaven. It is only through Christ. And how do you get to Christ? It's by obeying and doing everything that he says. So the only way to reach heaven is to have a personal relationship with Christ now on earth. And at the end of it all, the Bible promises that those who trust in Christ, who obeys God through Christ, will make it to heaven.
And so, are we going to be in heaven forever, or is just going to be a certain period?
No. The Bible tells us in Revelation that we will not live in heaven forever. We will be there for a millennium, in other words, for 1,000 years. Because God originally planned that we occupy this earth. He did not plan for us to live in heaven, but because of sin, something has to be done before we occupy this earth forever. So we will have to be in heaven, but for a millennium or 1,000 years. And after those years are expired, we have to come back to the earth. But a new earth without sin, without the contamination.
Now, according to Revelation, according to John, who is the revelator, he describes some events after this millennium that you talk about. How does it get to that? How does it describe these events?
Okay, let me start by giving you a certain quotation by the pen of inspiration in Great Controversy, chapter 42, the Great Controversy ended, page number 662. The servant of God says, at the close of 1,000 years, that's the millennium, the 1,000 years we have to live in heaven before returning to the earth. At the close of 1,000 years, Christ again returns to the earth. He is accompanied by the retinue of angels and the host of the redeemed. And as he descends in a terrific majesty, he bids the wicked dead arise to receive their doom. And as they try to do this, you know, for the very last time, Satan will have access to deceive the people. Say, okay, let us fight Christ and these people who have been saved. And this is where the fire comes down now to destroy the earth, to consume the devil and all who live by his lies. And John summarizes this by saying, according to now Revelation chapter 21, verses 50, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That is to say, after the expiration of 1,000 years of millennium, Christ now returns to the earth with those who were redeemed. And this is the same time that those who have lived by sin are destroyed, and the earth is consumed and saved anew, so that these people who have been saved now can inhabitate the earth for good now. Because originally, as I said, God did not plan that man should go and live in heaven, but rather occupy the earth as the place for the entire life. Sure.
All right, now, my brother, I just now want to find out who will then occupy this new earth. You referred to the new earth after the old earth is transformed by fire. Now, who's going to be there?
The Bible simply tells us, that is according to Matthew 5, verse number 5, Jesus is the truth, and he cannot lie. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So, not all women and men, not everyone on earth will have access to this new earth. Only those who have lived their lives by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God will have an access to this new earth. Yeah, that's why in John chapter 2, the mother of Jesus came to him and said, they have no wine. And Jesus repeated and said, woman, what have I to do with you? And the woman... the one who were attending the wedding, the one who were working for the bridegroom, will say, okay, he has answered this, but I know, my son, whatever he tells you, that you must do. And the results were amazing. So during this whole time, whatever Jesus tells us, when Jesus says, my daughter, I don't want you to raise a ministry.
Ooh.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
And by living by surely.
Well, my brother, I want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Be blessed. We are going to be joining with you again tomorrow, same time. Thank you so much for this afternoon.
I'm sorry for the disturbances, but my pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.